As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year.
Hello, I'm Gabriele Marcotti, and I'm pronouncing my name with an Italian accent this week because, of course, Italy are in the final of the European Championships, but more of this later. This is the final game podcast from Poland and Ukraine. And to mark that very rare occasion, Spain in the final of a major tournament, I'm joined by Guillaume Balaguer, who you know from so many different places, and of course, from The Times as well. Guillaume?
Hello.
Strange time.
You didn't say Guillaume Balaguer with the Spanish accent.
So Guillaume Balaguer, how's that?
That's better.
I want to go to Catalan for you. Now, fair to say that many of us had Spain in the final. In fact, if I can toot my own horn in the Times' Interactive Euro 2012 supplement, I predicted all four semifinalists correctly, Spain, Portugal, Germany, and Italy. However, I got the result of the Germany-Italy game wrong. I had Germany in the final.
Good for you.
And as you can tell, I am extremely upset. Were you surprised Italy in the final?
I'm surprised, and if you have a look at the beginning of the tournament, the game against Spain, you didn't see a lot there. You saw a solid team, and you saw that Balotelli and Cassano could be a handful, but you didn't see a team that will actually make it to the final. The exception being, of course, that you know that Italy at some point is going to start playing better, and if they're allowed, they've got that touch of luck, they can go a long way. You have to trust them. You have to just see history. You're there all the time, aren't you?
Was it a touch of luck against Germany? Was it Jogi Löw's, with hindsight, rather cack-handed lineup and tactical decisions? Or did Italy actually play well? Or combination?
I'm just going to say something I haven't thought of, but see if you agree. Every team that has changed their way to actually try to beat a rival, they've been knocked out. So the teams that actually have been faithful and loyal to the way of playing have gone a long way. Spain, Italy, Germany decide to put Kroos in the centre midfield and exiliate Ozil to the wing. And everything was going through Ozil. What was he thinking? They're out.
I might correct you on that one. I think you'll find that England actually didn't change their way of playing against Italy and still went out. But I guess they didn't lose to Italy. I think it was on penalties. Balotelli, many people's man of the match, maybe not yours. The jury will forever be out. I think there's this sort of giant philosophical debate raging between his two former managers. Of course, one is now his current manager as well. Jose Mourinho says he's uncoachable. Roberto Mancini says he can become one of the five best players in the world. Did you see anything new, anything you didn't expect from Balotelli?
What I saw was a completely different Balotelli to the one I've seen live twice, right at the end of the season in England. And I saw a guy that actually tracked back, that he still got to understand what pressure is, but he tries to do it. He moves around, he runs a bit without the ball, which he didn't before. So that's definitely one thing. Two, the belief is there. Perhaps he wasn't completely gone, but you could see, for instance, against Spain, that famous chance that he had where he lacked a little bit of, I don't know, mental strength. I don't know what it was. And also, the more he thought about it, and it wasn't just against Spain, I think against Croatia, he had another chance as well. The more he thinks about the chance, the lesser Balotelli looks. So now you've got a guy that can run with the ball and think and finish and also attack a ball like a normal striker, as he scored with his header. So a complete player. He's given a couple of jumps in quality in this tournament, no doubt. Man of the match. Pirlo was important, Marchisio were important, but generally I would say the way Italy played just suggests a team that he was a team, he was a unit.
Have you ever seen Italy have taken more shots on goal than any other team in this tournament? Is this the most, and I will be the first to say that taking a lot of shots on goal does not per se make you attacking, but is this the most attacking Italy team you've ever seen at a major tournament in your lifetime?
It probably is. 82 became a little bit more offensive at the end. But the fascinating thing is that 2 years ago, we were accusing Italy of being very, very defensive. 2-4 years ago. And then, boom, they just go from defensive to offensive. And that links a little bit to what people are debating in England about the English team. They trying to say, well, how should we play? Should we have more of possession? It's not even about that. Give the kids the ability to keep the ball, to be tactically intelligent, and then you're able to do whatever you want. Don't be Italy, don't be Spain, don't be Germany, be yourselves. But you need those two things, which of course Italy have, and because they have it, they can just switch from offensive to defensive, not only in 2 years, in the same game, in the same half.
It's interesting you say be yourself, because right, every time a team does badly in a tournament, and it happened to Italy after 2010, it's happening now with France and England. It seems to happen with England every 2 years, actually. But they start saying, oh, no, but we need to change the model. We need a root and branch review. We need to, you know, emulate the French model, emulate the Dutch model. Now everybody wants to emulate the German model. You're not buying that? You don't think that the German model is the path forward for everyone?
How quickly we forget about Spain, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point they wanted to copy the Spanish model.
No, well, no, no, hold on. We're talking about a Germany that has been copying the way, the style, the possession style of Spain. Talk to Joachim Löw. We're talking to Italy that all of a sudden have decided that possession is the way forward. Okay. So we're talking about three of the finalists playing, or the semi-finalists, playing certain way. So, yeah, there is a bit of that. There's a bit of fashion about it.
You realize it's not as if Spain invented. Possession simply means having the football. It's not like it's something
made it
that
fashionable.
Spain invented.
Made it fashionable.
Yeah, go talk.
Made it fashionable and successful, which is a fantastic combination, one that people seem to be a little bit bored of now.
I could be wrong. I think there's a country in South America that plays in green and gold.
Which they always
likes to keep
did,
the ball as well.
Talk to Joachim Löw. In fact, there was...
Oh, yeah, well, if Joachim Löw says so, then it must be true.
Talk to Prandelli. Why deny
it? No, but Prandelli's very clear about the fact that he thinks that the strength of Italy is in its midfielders, like the strength of Spain, and he's very open about that you know, right. he used Spain. Although, of course...
Well, you argue with me then.
Of course, Spain don't have a direct striker like Balotelli. We're going to get to that when we actually preview the game. But final word on Germany, because, okay, so what stands out is Joachim Löw made, you know, this decision which clearly backfired in playing Toni Kroos on Pirlo. But it also struck me that a lot of individuals who had played very well in this tournament thus far simply went missing on the night. I'm thinking of Mats Hummels. I had him Hummels, in my team of the tournament before the game, and afterwards I was like, because he was really, really awful. Mm. You know, Ozil really seemed to suffer once he was out. He didn't seem happy. It looked like we saw sort of stroppy Mesut, which I was hoping we wouldn't see again.
So Steiger hasn't been fit anyway.
He hasn't been fit. We give him a pass, but you know, Gomez was awful again.
Because Gomez is what it is. He's just a striker that wants the ball, and that's why Klose plays more often, and that's why probably Löw likes more Klose.
So, the shortcomings, is this still a great generation of German players, or do they come out of this maybe a little bit reevaluated, and the fact that maybe the gap between Spain and Germany is still there?
Well, we thought that they were superhuman, the Germans, and they had...
You always do this. You talk in plural. Speak for yourself.
In Spain, talk about Germans.
Okay, and speak for a whole nation. Go ahead.
About 35,257,000 people, and I've got the stats to prove it, think that the Germans are very strong mentally, and we wanted to be Germans. And we wanted to have that kind of attitude during the tournaments that made them so special, so difficult to beat as well. They seem to have lost that, and I think the less you win, the less you have it, and the more you win, the more you have it. Italy keep it. Spain have all of a sudden won it, and that has been missing by Germany. But don't forget, it's the youngest team in the tournament. I'm sure that they learn from this experience, and after all, you know, they were in the semi-finals, and you know, it was about 20 minutes of bad football that knocked them out. They had a good end of the game. It was 2-1 at the end. You could, you know,
stop it.
No,
no. Let me ask you about Spain, actually, because there's been a lot of debate about how the Spanish team compares to 2010 and 2008. I will not ask you whether Spain are boring, because it's just such an asinine question. It doesn't bear contemplating. But 2010 World Cup, Spain did not score a lot of goals, had comparable amounts of possession to what they have today. But it looked to me as if they were creating more chances, maybe not finishing that many. Is this by design, or is this team maybe not as good as they were 2 years ago?
Villa is not there. That's a big, big, big problem, certainly. And it is a progression of the same idea, but in a defensive way. This team has got to this stage of the season really, really, really tired. And just have a look at the players that have not played, because that will tell you something about them.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm thinking of Llorente, perhaps even Mata. They're so tired that they're not going to take part of the tournament. As simple as that. And I know Vicente del Bosque, if he had had the chance to see them for 2 or 3 days before having to choose them, he may have just said, no, we'll get somebody else. Let's get Soldado, for instance. So, or Isco, one of those. Muniain. In any case, that means that they decided to have a kind of a conservative approach to possession, in which they keep the ball to actively rest. And because we become the team that concedes less chances, less shots on goal, but only concede one goal as well, seems to be working, because you putting perhaps too much emphasis on talent, you think that at some point something's going to come out and you're going to score. But you know, it's a risky business, because against Portugal, for instance, for the 90 minutes, Portugal were better.
It is true. Talent and physical fitness so often go hand in hand. And I don't just mean physical fitness, oh, is he carrying a knock, is he running? But, you know, is he running and performing at the peak levels? Yeah. You know, sometimes a less talented player at his peak level is worth more than a very talented player who, you know, is maybe a few percent below his peak level. Portugal came out, pressed Spain high. Was that maybe Spain's toughest game of the tournament? After Italy, of course.
Of the last 5 years, I would say. The toughest game. talking to the players.
Tougher than when you lost to Switzerland, clearly.
Honestly, I mean, that game we had like 23 shots on goal. We could have scored six goals. But it was really, really tough, both mentally and physically. You could see, as you said, very cleverly, and I think that's the way to play Spain. Portugal defended high up. And there were a point where even the centre-backs didn't want to build from the back. It was long balls. Negredo was there to actually fight those long balls, and he didn't. And there was no fluency in the game. There was not enough passing. The possession was, again, very conservative. So all in all, it was a poor Spain. And you have to overcome that. In the past, it would have been like, oh, we cannot do it. You know, the next chance of Portugal, they're going to score. And it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. The two centre-backs have been extraordinary, with the exception of one moment, when Balotelli took the best of Sergio Ramos. But generally, they've just been fantastic help by
Busquets. I like to
Busquets.
Say, when he made Sergio Ramos his female dog. In that game, a lot of controversy over the penalty kicks in the end. Ronaldo due to come up fifth, and of course it never came to that. Interestingly, of course, Xabi Alonso missed the first penalty for Spain, and then Portugal missed a couple. Now, as I understand it, and as Graham Pohl tells me, the order of the penalty takers isn't set in stone. And I thought you could change the order. You can actually change the penalty takers as well, as long as you tell the referee, you know, hey.
Do you know, I'm not sure people know that. I may just be talking rubbish here, but I'm not sure, because you see it written.
Did Paolo Mento know that?
Well, that's what I mean. It gets written. It's like 1, 2, 3. And, for instance, Spain were talking about numbers as well. You're going to be the first. Cesc was offered the second, and he said, no, I'll take the fifth. So,
but let's take a step back and assume that, you know, he couldn't have changed the order. He never contemplated changing the order. If he sends Ronaldo out at number five...
Which is, by the way, and according to Nani, it was a demand of Ronaldo. Ronaldo wanted to be the fifth. And the manager agreed.
That's really interesting, because, of course, at number five, you may not take a penalty. Generally speaking, most conventional wisdom has it that your most important penalties are number one and number four.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose a penalty kick a series of penalty kicks on number three, but it almost never happens. Number four is kind of like your stay alive, and number one, obviously, psychologically, has a big knock-on effect. If this is the case, then... Should we blame Paolo Bento for just letting Ronaldo do what he does, even if it hurts the team?
I think, first of all, the argument is wrong, in the sense that people are saying that he bottled. To actually take one of the five penalties, he's not bottling it.
Let's assuming... Let's not say he bottled it, because he probably didn't think that maybe they'd be out by then. But even then, if you're Paolo Bento, you're an international manager... you should know how penalty kicks works. And say, Cristiano, you realize that if you're number five, you may not get to take a penalty.
But that's assuming that Paolo Bento thought that first and fourth are the most important, because by the sounds of it, they decided on Ronaldo taking the fifth for a reason, because he thought, for whatever reason...
That the people before him weren't going to miss.
They were not going to miss, or Casillas was going to stop a penalty, or whatever it was. And the fifth penalty, see if I can explain this properly, the fifth penalty is the only one that you can win or lose the game. I know that before, if there is mistakes or what I'm saying is, the fifth is one that actually can win you the
so
on
the fourth,
hindsight
so the
before.
Third.
I know, but what before you start without knowing the mistakes,
let's not reopen.
And Cesc has done it twice against Italy and against Portugal.
Okay, good for Cesc. Let's not reopen this kind of worms about the fifth. We had this long debate about this, and I think you get into a whole issue of game theory and probability. But final question on Ronaldo. Does he come out of this tournament with his reputation enhanced?
I'd say so, completely. And people will remember the fifth penalty, and sometimes we take debates and do much more than they deserve. This guy has actually made Portugal semi-finalist. The team played for him. It was a team basically with only one quality midfielder in terms of passing the ball with Moutinho. The rest was just play for him with Coentrao, wonderful tournament he had as well, Joao Pereira on the right-hand side as well. But it was all down to what Ronaldo wanted to do. So he's carried the whole team the same way almost as Platini did with France and Maradona with Argentina. Just needed that little step, perhaps the World Cup.
All right, Guillaume. Sunday, Spain can achieve something which nobody in the history of the game has ever done. Three major tournaments in a row. Now, you don't need to actually beat Italy to do it. You haven't beaten Italy in 92 years. And that's yes, it. Before people write in, I know about Euro 2008, that was penalties. And that's what I'm getting to. That's not a proper win, but it's a necessary evil to determine who gets to take the trophy home. Do you think it's going to go to penalties?
It could well be, but the interesting thing is that we used to hate to remember those records.
Wait, don't you have that special distinction that you're the only country who's ever lost to England on penalty kicks in major tournaments?
Isn't that great?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was 96, of course, in the quarterfinals, in the game that nobody wants to remember, where we actually played much better than England, but nobody wants to remember it. But yeah, it could well go to penalties, but what I'm saying is the kind of record that we used to hate to remember. Oh, we never beaten France. Oh, my God. We never beaten Italy. But all of a sudden, we're not scared. Yeah, that's right. Let's just break that record as well, the same way that we've broken so many in the last few years. It is that winning mentality, which I don't know what you take in the morning to have, but that Spain certainly have.
I will leave you with a question, which hopefully will throw you for a loop. Tell me three things that Italy need to do to win the game.
Certainly move the ball the same way that they moved it against Germany. That suggests that they keep the ball, have possession. Two, not be scared of the spacing behind the fullbacks and the centre backs as well. So get Balotelli to fix the centre backs, which will allow Spain to be a little bit less compact. And three, just take advantage of the few chances we're going to give you.
Few chances against a team that's had more chances than any other in the tournament.
And against a team that has conceded less chances in the tournament.
Well, you know, Guillaume, you're talking about sort of unstoppable force, a movable object here. You know what? If that's all Italy have to do, then I feel pretty good about our chances. I will predict an Italy win because that's what I'm expected to do. You, I'm assuming, will dissent.
Completely. We're definitely going to beat you. I've got no doubt whatsoever.
Well, all will be revealed on Sunday in just a little over 48 hours from our time of recording here. Thank you for listening. We've had great fun. Thank you for joining us. It's been a bit rough out on the road. Hopefully we brought a little bit of Euro 2012 to you. In the meantime, remember, the football doesn't stop. I'm not just saying this because Olympic football's coming up, but there's lots of more meaningful things like endless summer transfer speculation, and you can get it all at thetimes.co.uk. You can, of course, follow us all on Twitter. I'm on there. Guillaume Balague is on there with like 250,000 plus followers, many, many more than me. You can also download our iPad app like a newspaper with buttons, whistles, and bells, and graphics and fancy features. It is worth checking out. And for those of us who are old school, the game, the paper edition, the one edited by the legendary Tony Evans, our boss, that'll be out on Monday. But after that, that's going to be out on August 12th. So if you still own calendars and not those fancy electronic things, please mark it on there. It's been a privilege. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.